back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do.
Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, and he's back to throw. Climbs the pocket, deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
As well as Anita Marks this morning here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us. We are with you for the next 60 minutes. Breaking down all that is happening in Giants land as Giants training camp is well underway. They will put the pads on today. Yesterday, the team had some time off, but they are back in full action today. We want to hear your thoughts on what has transpired thus far in training camp, specifically talking generics, all the battles at various positions around the team over the next 60 minutes. You can weigh in however you want. Linebackers, wide receivers, kickers, you name it. You want to get involved. We want to hear your thoughts. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can also follow and interact with Anita and I at Lance Meadow and at Anita Marks.
So, really big day today. Today is the day that really separates the boys from the men because it's the first day of pads, Lance. So this is my first day here at the Giants facility. I'm pretty stoked about it for training camp. So I can't wait to see all these position battles. Obviously, I've been reading everything online. I've been talking to a lot of the media folk who've been here since day one. And it sounds like there's some players that have been quite impressive. There's some players that who have been struggling. But there are a number of position battles. I guess, what's our show question again?
Basically, we'll take just about anybody's thoughts on any positions. The linebacker, though, is probably the one position to watch very closely thus far.
But our show question is, what position battle are you most looking forward to? So, by all means, please call in. Curious, interested, I'll tell you. At the end of the show, how about we'll both share ours at the end of the show? How's that?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
And we want to hear
from
the fans.
I'll have an hour of some of the Giants fans out there convincing me why certain position battles are better than others. So I'll be listening intensely.
And bounce some ideas off of them as well. We're looking forward to the interaction. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. And we might as well get ready to take some calls here first, if you want, or we could go over some specific positions, too, because there's certainly a lot to get into.
Well, I know we've got a full bank of calls, so we can get into it, but let's just let the fans out there know, if you're listening today, practice 1:30 p.m. Eastern time to 3:45 p.m. Eastern time, Lance, and the running backs and tight ends will be signing autographs today. So, new tight end in the bunch with Brandon Myers. Really excited to see what he can do. I was a distant fan of his. As we know, he came over from Oakland. But as you know, I play in a lot of fantasy football leagues. I actually owned Brandon Myers as a number two tight end in a number of my leagues. So I'm very familiar with his stats and what he was able to do in Oakland with no disrespect to Carson Palmer. But this is a much better system. This is a much more explosive offense. And Eli Manning is a much better quarterback. So really excited to see what Myers can do. Of course, Lewis Murphy comes over as well at wide receiver. I'm going to be talking to him today, but also the running back position with David Wilson, what's going on with Andre Brown. That's another battle that we're going to be talking about today.
There's a lot of depth across the board on this team, and you really could go from top to bottom on defense as well. The defensive line, a lot of defensive tackles and defensive ends that they brought into. You mentioned Brandon Myers, 79 receptions last season with Oakland, and now you look at the talent that surrounds him. With Akeem Nix, Victor Cruz, Ruben Randall, you name it, he should be able to duplicate that and then some, specifically since Eli Manning has looked to the tight end position as a security blanket in years past.
Well, you know, it was an interesting debate all offseason as the Victor Cruz contract turned. What was going to happen? We know that, you know, he was offered that tender, and then he came to an agreement with the Giants. What was that again? 6 years, $46 million, 15.6 guaranteed. So good for Victor Cruz, but the comments and the debates that were taking place, sports talk radio, whatnot, was, is Victor Cruz a legitimate number one wide receiver, or is he a product of the Kevin Gilbride, Eli Manning system? I believe the system. And where I'm going with this system is very kind to slot receivers, such as Victor Cruz, and this system is very kind to tight ends. And you're right. Eli Manning loves to work in the tight end. The biggest knock, I guess, on Myers is that he's not a great blocking tight end. But that's what Bear Pasco is here for. And hopefully Henry Hanoski will get healthy in time. But I'm looking for Myers to be a really exciting receiving tight end in this offense. And this scheme fits him, just like this scheme fits Victor Cruz. This scheme helps guys in the middle, the 5, 7, 10, 15, 12, 15 yards in the middle of the field where you will find Victor Cruz and Brandon Myers a lot.
And that was something that you can make the point was missing, a missing element from this team last season, because Akiem Nicks was hurt and there were times in games that you could point to where Manning was forcing it down the field when maybe the wiser decision would have been throw it down low to the running backs or throw it over the middle. I think he has now multiple options to do that this season.
Well, interesting you say that was missing. Was it missing, Lance, or was it because Akiem Nicks was not healthy and Mario Manningham had left for San Francisco? So who was really, Jernigan, we're all kind of waiting. We hear about Jernigan being that speedster. We really didn't have a speedster on this team last year. I think that's why they really brought in Lewis Murphy. And what I find interesting is, again, this is my first day here at practice, but I've been reading everything that's being printed and I'm talking to a lot of folks. So far, they really haven't stretched the field yet at practice. Nobody has seen the Lewis Murphy 85-yard touchdown reception from Eli Manning. Hopefully that will develop. I think that's a big reason why they brought him in here. He is going to be the next coming of what we saw with Mario Manningham and what Mario Manningham meant to this team in spreading the field. I feel that defenses cheated last year. I think defenses came in and they tried to take Victor Cruz and Bennett out of the equation. This year with a healthy Akiem Nicks and a Lewis Murphy who can really stretch the field, I think defenses are going to have to play a lot more honest, and then it's going to open things up.
Well, you can make the argument it's pick your poison on this team.
Yes.
Last season,
yes.
As you mentioned.
I like it.
You double-team Victor Cruz. If Akiem Nicks is not opposite him, you're right. Somebody else needed to step up. And Reuben Randall showed glimpses of that, but it really wasn't until the last game against the Eagles where he had his breakout performance. Now he's had a tremendous training camp to start. Really showed a lot of desire to get better during mini camps and OTAs. This is a guy that seems to be ready to take the next step. You mentioned Lewis Murphy. Probably not going to get a feel as to how they will stretch the field until the preseason. Right now, they haven't put the pads on much. You get a big play here and there, and I think Randall has shown some flashes that he may even be able to spread the field as much as Lewis Murphy could do. There's a lot of options, and if you're the opposition going up against the Giants this season, you need to say to yourselves, all right, we're going to put one corner on Akiem, we're going to put one corner on Victor. How do we go about trying to contain the likes of Murphy, Randall, and Myers?
It's going to be exciting. And you're, I mean, you listen, today's the first day in pads. I cannot, today's the day, again, practice is from 1:30 to 3:45 this afternoon. If ever there was a day that you want to come out and watch the Giants practice, Lance, it's today, because these guys have been itching and they cannot wait for 1:30.
And the chippiness factor and the chippiness meter, as I like to call it, is probably going to skyrocket, because Anita, more often than not, when they put the pads on, you're going to embrace the contact, and
right.
Guys are going to get a little bit more physical than they've had in days past.
And it's been, you know, not to say that training camp has been boring, but look, this isn't tiddlywinks. This is football. Now's the time to really get out there and grind and be physical. And the coaches want to see that physicality. And again, we're talking about the battles that we're going to be focusing on today, tomorrow, of course, the next few weeks into the preseason game. By the way, preseason game number one, August 10th at the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's going to be a good one. You know what I find interesting here, the preseason schedule? We know that preseason game number three is like it. If there was one preseason game that you want to go to, it's the third preseason game, because that's the game that the majority of your starters play the majority of the time. And the Giants take on the Jets. So
just adding to the rivalry.
Right? But beyond that, you've got that whole Geno Smith, Mark Sanchez thing happening. I think it's going to be a really interesting game. I think it's going to be, that's, if again, If there was a practice you want to attend, it's today. If there is a preseason game you want to attend, it's game three. Because there's going to be so many, just beyond the Giants, there's going to be just so many interesting storylines taking place on that field.
Whenever two teams that share the same stadium from the same state, you know there's going to be plenty of storylines. That goes without saying. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513 on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You could also interact with Anita and I at Anita Marks, at Lance Meadow, last name M-E-D-O-W. Let's head to the lines. We start with Jason in Montana. Jason, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, good morning, and welcome back, Anita.
Thank you so much.
Hey, I was calling back about my 53-man roster, what I think is going to happen.
Sure.
You know, this was more or less talked about yesterday, but I didn't have time to do it yesterday. But, yeah, this is really interesting when, definitely when you're going through this, definitely had to take off some players that, that you would really like to see make it and, that you were rooting for. But, basically, I guess this is my thought of how the Giants are going to be going this year. So, of course, obviously I got, three quarterbacks. It's going to be, Manning, Carr, and Nassib. Going to have, five running backs, Wilson, Cox, Scott, Brown, and Terrain. Some of these are going to be on the bubble too, and I'll go back to that afterwards. But, fullback, of course, we're going to have Konoski. Wide receiver, we'll have five wide receivers, Jernigan, Murphy, Cruz, Randall, and Nix. Three tight ends, Robinson, Myers, Pascal. Going to go with, four, tackles, Beatty, Beal, Pugh, and Brewer. Four guards, Herman, Mosley, Snead, Booth. One center.
You're already going through the roster here.
Well, that's what the question was the other day.
Well,
was,
no.
Yesterday we did touch on people to start speculating about their 53-man roster.
Oh,
so
okay.
Jason apparently went home, did some homework, stayed up
that.
Late,
I
penciled in guys, took some guys out. He solved some mathematical equations. Did a little bit of everything.
Jason, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Well. The whole thing is, you're right. It's too early. It's too early to even start getting on it and stuff like that. And once again, it's going to be preseason. That's what I'm excited about. I'm just excited about seeing all these, position battles, especially the linebacker. Really want to see that. I mean, there's some guys on there, you know, Curry, you got Bosworth. I mean, these guys that, just have this, potential in them that might not have been shown yet. If they just could come on out and they could get back to what everybody's thinking they're being, the Giants can really have a very powerful linebacking core, and our defense can get back to that shutdown defense, to where we shut down that run and then we just take care of that pass. So, like I said, you're right. It's kind of a little early to do it. These are just some things that I was thinking.
Well, Jason, why don't you do this? Instead of going through who you have, who are your bubble guys? Because that, I think, is most interesting, right? Who is on the borderline of missing out on making this 53-man roster? Why don't you throw out maybe two or three names?
Okay. I guess the first one that's going to be surprising, and I know a lot of people are not going to agree with it, but, you know, he's just he's getting a little bit older. Yes, he's knowledgeable, but there's also been some questions in his play. I would say David Carr. David Carr is possibly on the bubble. I know Coughlin doesn't really trust rookies, but like I said, we know that probably Carr is not going to be with the Giants next year. So, you know, if they need the space, they might have to let him go. I think Darrell Scott, he's on the bubble. I think Terrain's on the bubble. I think Jernigan's on the bubble. I think Brewer's on the bubble. I think Mosley's on the bubble. And if it wasn't Mosley, then it would be McCants. I think Broha is on the bubble. I think Rivers is on the bubble. And then, of course, you know, we've got the pup list, which I feel we're going to roll into the year with Pierre Paul on the pup list and Thomas. And I think Thomas is on the bubble big time. And then we got the suspension of Hill and Collins, and Collins is on the bubble.
All right, Jason, thanks so much for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it.
Just a comment on, you know, some guys you say they're on the bubble. I don't anticipate a number of guys to make the team, and I think that's kind of obvious for a number of people. you never know. At the end of camp, somebody could really surprise you and really impress a coach and make it. But interesting that he thinks Jernigan is on the bubble. I think it's going to come down between Jernigan and Ramses Barden. But everything I've heard so far is that Ramses Barden has had a good camp. Now, again, this is something we're going to continue to say in the next 30 minutes, and that is today's the day that the boys separate from the men. And one thing, the biggest knock on Ramses Barden is lack of physicality. So it'll be interesting to see, does Ramses play that's been so stellar so far this camp, does it continue when they put on pads? But I think Jason is right in regard to Jernigan. I'm going to keep an eye on Jernigan this camp. I don't see David Carr going. David Carr and Eli Manning are as thick as thieves. They're best friends. Eli wants him here. Eli needs him here. I just
runs
don't
the scout team too.
Yeah, and I just don't, you know, God forbid. Listen, a big concern for me going into the season, Lance, not sure if it is for you, but look, there's no more Ahmad Bradshaw. The biggest concern about David Wilson and somewhat for Andre Brown is helping with pass protection in the backfield. The offensive line is a little bit older, injury prone. I'm worried about Eli Manning's health this season. That's a big concern for me going into the season. You're going to need a number two quarterback, not a rookie. You're going to need a number two quarterback who could come in, who knows the system. This is a very intricate system, Kevin Gilbride's system. It's a very difficult system to learn in 1 year. I believe this team has three quarterbacks on its roster with the fact that they went out and they drafted Ryan. I think David Carr stays.
I think David Carr's job is safe, too,
yeah,
for the reasons that you laid out. And the other thing that you need to take into consideration is, you know, depending on how the quarterback battles play out across the league, if Nassib shows something in preseason, perhaps his value increases and maybe the Giants would experiment and listen to some offers if they feel they don't want to keep three quarterbacks. Keep in mind, it's been a long time since the Giants have kept three quarterbacks. That's not what they usually do. And if it comes down to needing some extra depth at other positions, they may need to sacrifice a quarterback. And if they don't want to just outright cut Nassib, because clearly somebody's going to pick him up, the only option is to possibly pull off a trade. And that may be something they'll look at later on in the preseason once Nassib gets some opportunities out on the field against competition, because you can only tell so much throughout the course of practices. And of his passes have been a little off over the last couple of days.
See, it's interesting that that's your take. I look at Ryan Nassib as the Aaron Rodgers project for the Giants, very similar to what the Green Bay Packers did when Brett Favre was and please, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Eli Manning is where Aaron Rodgers was when they drafted,
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre,
yeah.
Right. When they drafted Aaron Rodgers. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, at some point in time, if there's a talented quarterback out there that you feel would be good for the organization, that you can feel is a project that you can take like the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years and mold and groom and come in and be a second string quarterback to Eli Manning. As Eli Manning gets older, I think Ryan is it. I mean, I very well could be wrong. You're thinking that you're thinking that the Giants might entertain a trade offer, and that very well could happen. But when the Giants went out and drafted him, and granted, you know, from what I understand, they were just absolutely shocked that he was still on the board, and they love his talent and they love his upside. I just see Ryan as a project. I see him as a guy who's going to be backup to Eli Manning for several years, and then when Eli's ready to move on, boom, Ryan's the next coming.
And I agree. I think that he has potential, and if they want to plan for the future, he's the option. I'm just saying sometimes when you have to cut down the roster, it's a numbers game. And if you feel you have enough with two quarterbacks, but you need an extra defensive end or an offensive lineman, quarterback may be a position you go to first to cut,
right,
as opposed to somewhere else. So the other thing to keep in mind, remember, guys on the PUP, guys on the suspension list do not count against the 53-man roster. However, you then need to make tough decisions come week 6 or week 4
when
they are
off,
eligible to return. Turn.
Right.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Kareem in Manhattan. Kareem, welcome to the program. What's happening?
Hi, how are you? Love the show. First, a practical question. I'm planning on coming out to practice today. You think they're going to practice outside? Because I know it's raining in the New York area.
I don't know what the forecast is like the later part of the day, but I would assume that if the rain continues to come down, there is a chance that they're probably going to move inside, because part of the reason that they moved camp to this facility is, unlike Albany, they actually have the benefit of an indoor facility. In Albany, they had to use a basketball court, and you know that Tom Coughlin wasn't a big fan of that.
Okay, thanks for that. I wanted to ask about three people, if you think they're going to make the team. One was Jernigan, and I heard you commented on that before. The other is Darrell Scott, and the other is Terrell Thomas. What do you think the chances of them making the team are?
That's a great question. I don't feel Darrell Scott makes the team. Out of the three guys that he mentioned, I don't feel that Darrell Scott makes the team. I think that they would like to see Terrell Thomas make the team, but it's so hard when you recover three ACL surgeries to come back. Let's talk about the secondary. I think the secondary, Lance, is very underrated. I think this is a monster secondary. I think the secondary is really going to impress a lot of folks. And the fact that Aaron Ross is back, there's some young talent that Jerry Reese and this organization brought in via the draft and free agency. I think this is going to be a very difficult roster for Terrell Thomas to make. So I'm rooting for Terrell Thomas. I think there are a number of people in this organization who are rooting for Terrell Thomas, but I don't think he makes the roster. I don't think Darrell Scott makes the roster. The biggest question mark for me is Jernigan. And for a number of reasons. Politics plays a huge role when you're deciding a roster. And I think it's going to come down between Ramsey's Barden and Jernigan. I think that's going to be the decision that Jerry Reese and Tom Coughlin and they're going to have to make. And both these guys, they spent draft picks on. They had high hopes for. This is the year that one of them really has to turn the corner. Which one will that be? That's the biggest question mark for me, Jernigan and Barden.
I would say right now Jernigan has an edge on Ramsey's Barden. The reason I say that, in order to solidify a spot on this team, if you only play one position, you need to be able to contribute on special teams. And if they feel that Jernigan can give them a spark, I think he is more of an asset on special teams than a Ramsey's Barden, if it comes down to those two. With regard to Terrell Thomas, as Kareem brought up, I think Thomas is probably a strong candidate to start on the PUP list. He's got to get back on the field before he can prove to this coaching staff that he deserves a roster spot. If they're not sold on that after a couple of preseason games and they don't want to necessarily part ways with him and buy him some time, the option is to put him on PUP, see what he could do over the first 6 weeks, and then determine what direction you want to go into. So I don't know if I'd even throw Terrell Thomas in the bubble category, because the PUP is an option.
Right.
With respect to Darrell Scott, here's the question mark. Is David Wilson going to be your primary kickoff returner? Or are you going to use him solely as a running back? If you're going to use him solely as a running back, you need to find another option to return kickoffs. Perhaps Darrell Scott emerges as that guy. That would give him the best chance to make the roster. If Wilson's going to continue to split duties, then I would say Darrell Scott is unlikely to make this roster, because they probably would allow Wilson to return as many kickoffs as humanly possible.
David Wilson is the most, in my opinion, the most explosive guy on this offense. Why would you just because risk of injury? Is that why you're risk of injury? You're worried that's why you would take him off?
That's one, and okay. Also wearing him down. Can he handle 15 to 20 carries in addition to returning, I don't know, let's say 4 to 5 kickoffs every game? Just throwing it out there. I'm sold on him. I don't think you could sacrifice him and take him away from special teams. I think the Giants need to use him
yes.
in both areas. But
we're
it depends on
there.
The coaching staff.
Yeah, he's the most explosive player on this offense. And special teams, I don't think enough people realize just how important special teams is in regard to field position and helping an offense start off you know, not in their own end zone, number one. And number two, also, you know, helping a defense pin a team back. So I'm a huge fan of David Wilson. I really do believe, because of the concerns for Eli Manning's safety this season, Lance, David Wilson right now is the number one. I get it. And he's the most explosive. He's the playmaker on this offense, and he'll definitely get a lot of playing time. But I'm not looking at David Wilson to carry the ball 25, 30 times a game. I think it's going to be who has the hot hand. I think you're going to see Andre Brown get a lot of carries, goal line carries, but I think the two of them are going to split this duty. And because of that, I can see them still continuing to use David Wilson in specials.
Well, who's ever the better pass protector, Anita, is probably going to be on for third down. when Eli Manning's got to drop back. So you could say that
hands down.
Whoever wins that battle in training camp, that's going to be the third down option. Whether it's an Andre Brown or a David Wilson, I think remains to be seen. And Michael Cox is another guy. He's a big bruiser, a late round pick. Perhaps he's competing for some opportunities too if they don't want to go the direction of Darrell Scott.
And keep in mind, I mean, this roster is not, you know, the guys that are here at camp right now, this isn't a done deal. There's some running backs out there that the Giants could go out and bring in. And guys that that can help this offense, not only in the rushing attack, but in pass protection as well. So only time will tell. I mean, we don't know all the guys that at the end of the day will be on this roster in that backfield.
And Kareem, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. Let's head back to the lines. We've got William in Carolina. William, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, good morning, Lance. Good morning, Anita. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
I just wanted to clarify a couple things that you mentioned earlier about Brandon Myers, the tight end. And I think we need to be really careful about rumors. One of the things that I looked at when the Giants signed him was the fact that he had a bum shoulder last year. Actually, I think he had a separated shoulder. And I think he got a knock as being a bad blocker because and he never really said anything about it. So he was playing, really blocking on one shoulder, you know, for pretty much the whole season. They still caught over 800, you know, passing yards as a tight end. But I think that there's a chance there for a lot of improvement with, you know, working with Mike Pope. You know, as we all know, Mike Pope is probably the best in the game as far as tight end coaches. The other thing is I agree with you guys when you talk about what happened with Victor Cruz last year. I think a lot of times he was double-teamed, and having Hakeem Nicks injured, that was a big factor. In that double team, I keep thinking back to that Pittsburgh game where, you know, he had two or three guys over him, all over him throughout most of the game. And he was definitely missing that Mario Manningham. But I do disagree with you when you say Eli doesn't have somebody to stretch the field. I think Reuben Randall is that guy. And from what I've been seeing in camp, Eli is already feeling comfortable enough to go down the field and throw it up, knowing that Reuben Randall is there. I think we saw him make some catches with, you know, with Webster and the other guy. I think it was Amukamara on it. And I think they were both hanging on him, and he still went up and caught it. I think he's establishing that in camp. And I think come, you know, the opening of the season, I think they're going to be pretty explosive. And but the only thing, like you said, I question, what is David Wilson's real value? Is it going to be as a running back that can maybe do 12 to anywhere between 12 to 18 carries? Or, you know, can we rely on Andre Brown? And I think that's going to be the big question. Can Andre Brown be the bell cow? And then you do a quick change of pace with David Wilson. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, William, I think Andre Brown has proven from what we've seen last season, assuming he stays healthy, that he can be a productive running back. So I don't know if Andre Brown needs to prove that. He just needs to prove that he can last the course of 16 games.
And that's what I mean. And when I say prove it, he can definitely, like I said, I was here. I actually live in Carolina, and I was probably one of the few people in my neighborhood wearing a Giants jersey when I came here. And, I think a lot of people, a lot of people kept coming up to me. It's like, who's this Andre Brown guy? And I was like, yeah, he's been with the Giants for a couple of years. He left and came back, and you know, there's no doubt that he can carry it. I'm also curious about, this is a position that not a lot of people are talking about, is the fullback position, which is very crucial for this type of offense. And I know that, you know, Hayanoski says he's coming back. He's going to be 100%, but until then, you know, who's going to be that guy that can help establish the run? So I think there's a question mark there for now until Hayanoski comes back 100%. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll let you answer the fullback position. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. I just want to go back and because he had a lot of very good points that he brought to the program, and I just want to comment on them. First and foremost, with Brandon Myers, the knock is he's not a very good blocking tight end, and this is what a lot of scouts say. This isn't just because of his performance last year with the Oakland Raiders, and you make an excellent point that, yes, he had a shoulder issue that he was dealing with that not a lot of people knew about. Again, today's the first day in pads. This camp, this practice, the next few weeks, the preseason games, we'll have a better grip and a better understanding and a better idea of just how good Brandon Myers is at being a blocking tight end. So that only time will tell, considering now that he's healthy and he no longer has shoulder issues. So that's first and foremost. So eyes on Brandon Myers and how good of a blocker will he be, because we know what type of receiving tight end he is. That's number one. Number two, yes, I think you're absolutely right. I think Reuben Randall can be that stretch the field type of receiver for Eli Manning. The problem is, you know, he really didn't get a lot of playing time last year. There were some comments that his work ethic wasn't up to par. There was some stories that he was falling asleep in meetings, and he just, you know, as a rookie, it's a hard transition going from college to the pros, and he just didn't have a great rookie year. At the end of the season, we saw him really flourish, especially against the Philadelphia Eagles. Can he pick up where he left off? Everything we're hearing about him this year is that he's matured. He's grown. He's so far, as you said, Lance, he's having a great camp. Hopefully that will continue, even with the pads that they'll be wearing today and throughout the rest of camp. So all eyes on Reuben Randall. And yes, I think you're absolutely right. I think Reuben Randall can be that wide receiver along with Lewis Murphy, who can stretch the field for Eli Manning and open up things in the middle. I forgot what his third thing is. I mean, he really had some great things that he brought to the program.
Well, he's throwing out also David Wilson's role, and I think we've discussed that. I assume that he's going to try to balance both, and I think that he's going to be a guy that will contribute as a running back and on special teams. How exactly the carries get broken down, I think that they have some time to experiment with regard to that, but Andre Brown's going to be a focal point of this offense. Don't think that with Ahmad Bradshaw out of the picture, it's going to be the David Wilson show. Andre Brown is an integral part because David Wilson, as Anita mentioned, he's not carrying it 30 times a game. You are going to need that goal line presence, which I think Andre Brown brings to the table. In regard to the tight end concern about Brandon Myers not being a strong blocker, as I've said on numerous shows, if there is any position not to be overly concerned about, it is the position that Mike Pope is in charge of. Because go back the last couple of years and all the tight end projects that he has brought to the forefront and made, you could say, borderline stars, there's a laundry list. Was Jake Ballard known as a blocker when he first came up with the Giants? I don't remember him being known as a blocker. Did he become a huge, big-time blocker? No, but he became productive enough to fit into the Giants system. Same thing could be said for Martellus Bennett. He was a backup to Jason Witten. Emerged, took the starting job, embraced it, and became a productive player. So in terms of Brandon Myers, yes, right now there is some criticism whether or not he's a reliable blocker, but I think once Mike Pope gets him to buy into the system and has a whole training camp underneath his belt, I think he'll do enough to aid the offensive line, and I don't think it's a big picture concern moving forward. In terms of the fullback, you've got Bear Pasco. He's taking over for Henry Heinoski. He's proven that he could be a mix between a tight end and a fullback, so I don't think there's that much of a concern for a guy that's present on the roster to make some holes for the running backs. And you also have D'Imperio, who they brought in because they got rid of David Buehler. They don't have two kickers anymore. Whether or not he makes the roster, I don't know necessarily. But once Heinoski comes back, you're going to have some depth between him and Pasco. So I don't think it's a true concern with respect to the fullback position.
Really quick, before we take our next caller, let's talk about Adrian Robinson. Because I'm hearing he's having a good camp as well. I'm hearing that he hasn't dropped a thing. You know, and that's pretty exciting because we all know the NFL is a copycat league, but Kevin Gilbride has his system, and it's his system, and it's in place, and it's won Super Bowls here with the Giants. But I love that two tight end set. And if Brandon Myers and Adrian Robinson can get in some reps where, you know, they're both to that two tight end set, I think that could be really exciting. I'm curious if Adrian Robinson continues to have the camp that he's having and impresses the coaches and impresses Gilbride. I wonder if Kevin Gilbride will implement that into his system and put in some plays where you've got like that 1-2 punch at the tight end position. That would be fun here. I think Eli would love that too.
201-939-4513, the telephone number, 201-939-4513. This is Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. She's Anita Marks. I'm Lance Meadow on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with us at Anita Marks, at Lance Meadow. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Vic in Connecticut. Vic, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance.
Good morning,
Anita, welcome
Vic.
Back.
Hi, thank you.
Kind of feels like football all of a sudden now that the OTAs are over and we're into camp, so The question of the day today that you guys posed, I probably would have spent a little bit more time on it, but I was spending most of my time on trying to form the John Schmelk fan club, which seems to have come about lately at camp.
I hope you're busy producing the pins and the T-shirts, because we're going full blow with that as training camp progresses, Vic. So you could be in charge of that if you'd like.
We're trying to organize the mosh pit as we speak.
By the way, if you have any comments that you'd like me to pass along to Paul Dottino, because I know how big of a fan you are of him, I would be more than happy to do that. I still have some of your great phrases on Big Blue Kickoff in the archives that we could go back to.
I think I've got a better tan than Paul, actually. I know it was brought up yesterday about his complexion, but I think I have a much better tan. And being Italian, I think I've won the battle there. So you can pass that on for him if you like.
Will do. Will do. I like that. We could definitely build that rivalry as the season progresses.
I am not quite as fast power walking as Paul, but I'm getting there.
You got to put a lot of time in. You got to get those Nikes on. You got to wake up a lot of hours in the day. I mean, it's really hardcore to get to the level of a Paul Dottino. You may need an entire training camp just to get back to his level.
Or I just maybe need to get a little bit older.
That could be another option as well.
Anyway, as far as the camp battle's concerned, the battle that intrigues me the most is the is a defensive line, because I think it's the battle that will change the course of the season, because last year it was such an Achilles heel, and I mean, we just talked about it ad nauseum for the last 6 or 7 months, and rightfully so, because it did hurt us, and the statistics that I've heard about getting off the field on some of the shows is just amazing. So I think because we didn't, this becomes like a huge battle, or at least the most intriguing. I think we're going to have to cut a lot of people that are actually some very good players, and I see us keeping about 10. That includes tackle and end. And some guys will be out like a Rogers or a Jomo or Tratow, unfortunately. But I think guys like Cullen Jenkins, it's kind of the wild card in this, because he can play end and he can play tackle. I guess he's more of a natural tackle than an end. And then there's some issues with JPP and his health and Marcus Kuhn coming back. So, you know, I really think that this will be, you know, they're going to end up with 8 to 10 guys that are really going, you know, hopefully health-wise, if everything works out, are going to be very good this year. You know, I'm hearing things that Marvin Austin looks better, and that this guy Frank Holcomb looks better. So you got Demontre Moore in the mix. So to get 8 or 10 guys out of this group of people is going to be really tough, but I think we're going to end up with 8 or 10 guys that are really good. So to me, I think when that boils down, it may really dictate the pace of the season. I don't know what you guys think about that.
And I think it's a great thing that there's so much competition, as you mentioned, on the defensive line, because that's only going to make this team better in the long run.
All right, so let's kind of break it down. We know JPP, and of course anticipating him to be healthy, Justin Tuck and Kiwi. OC we know is gone. He's in Atlanta. Linval Joseph, Jenkins. So we know that those five guys are going to make the team, okay? Joseph, Jenkins, JPP, Tuck, and Kiwi. We know that's a done deal. Sean Rogers is just such a load. And this year, everything I'm hearing about this Giants defense, their main objective is stop the run. You need big baby Rogers on your roster, on your D-line to stop the run. I think he makes the team. Obviously, second-round pick, Jonathan Hankins, he makes it. I hear that he's just looked spectacular so far this camp. I'm excited to see him in pads today. Interesting on Marvin Austin. Yes, I've heard he's had a good camp so far, but even his defensive line coach said he can't disappear when the pads come on. So all eyes on Marvin Austin moving forward. He's been getting reps with the third team so far, but he has looked good. Let's see what happens when he gets the pads on. Adrian Tracy, I heard, has looked absolutely spectacular. And more. Their third-round draft pick, I heard, has just been absolutely impressive. It's like there's not one offensive lineman that can keep him out of the backfield when he kind of pins his ears back and goes after Eli Manning. Of course, with the red jersey on. But I heard Demontre Moore has just looked unreal.
Across the board, all the names that you threw out, I mean, Robert Nunn has spoken very highly of all of them. He actually, in reference to Marvin Austin, I mean, clearly has a lot to prove when he puts the pads on.
Right.
But Robert Nunn said Marvin Austin's had the best offseason he's had since arriving here with the Giants. And it's really been an injury battle for him, because he hasn't been fully healthy since the Giants drafted him. And the other thing to keep in mind with Marvin Austin, remember, if he didn't get into trouble at North Carolina and there was an NCAA suspension, he arguably could have been a top 10 overall pick coming out of college. He fell as a result of some of the off-the-field issues.
Right.
So had a lot of potential. And the Giants, you could say, got a steal with where they took him. Unfortunately, it has not panned out because he had the torn pectoral muscle and did not see the field last season, partially because of injury and also partially because he had a lot to prove to the coaching staff. He was a healthy scratch more often than not last season.
You know what I find interesting is this Adewale Ajomo. Last year, if you recall, Lance, he had a really solid camp, especially preseason games. He put up some great stats, and this was a guy that you definitely wanted to eye. And every now and then, I was always curious if he'd make the active roster week in and week out. But not sure how he's doing so far in camp. Kind of not hearing great things, but not hearing bad things either. I was hoping that this would be the year that he really kind of stepped up to the plate and really competed against these guys. I'm curious to see him today as well, because again, you heard his name called a lot last year, especially in preseason games. Can he pick up from there and possibly turn the corner this season?
Well, he'll have to repeat it in preseason games. And the other thing is, you know, the Giants didn't sit back this offseason and need and say, we've got a Jomo in our back pocket. They went out, they were aggressive, mm-hmm. they brought in free agents. That helps force their competition.
Right.
And that's what this team needs.
And in the draft.
Absolutely. With Hankins, as you mentioned earlier.
And more.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Greg in North Carolina. Greg, what's happening?
How you doing, Nito? How you doing, Lance?
Doing well, Greg. What's on your mind?
All right. Hey, not much. I'm out here by the defense line and training camp here. There's a bus full of kids trying to figure out. I see the rain's coming in and out. Are we still going to have to practice today, you think?
Well, actually, Paul DiTino just tweeted.
It's only a matter till we reference a tweet from him.
Yeah, unfortunately, that if it does rain, they're going to bring the practice inside, and it was not going to be open to the public, which is sad. So fingers crossed that the rain does stay away and that they do practice outside. It doesn't look like that's the case, but hopefully they stay outside, because I know a lot of fans are coming out today again, because today's the first day of pads. So hopefully the rain stays away. Unfortunately, if it does not, the practice will be closed.
Will we get a tweet or will we get some type of update so I could go ahead and turn around and go home? How else should we expect? Is somebody going to come to the fence line?
Well, I'm sure that the team will probably continue to update the website, and I'm assuming that you follow a number of people that cover the Giants. So if you continue to monitor Twitter, the team will probably also send out a tweet. So stay tuned to social media or log on to Giants.com for all the latest info. That's probably the best thing that we could tell you at this point. Unfortunately, it's just too early to speculate as to whether or not practice will be outside or inside. It really depends on Mother Nature, and as you well know, she's very unpredictable.
Yes, she is. All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Greg, thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, and so far they've had a very good turnout here at camp, and we greatly appreciate the fans for interacting with the players and coming out to support the team. There's plenty of more opportunities that you can check out on Giants.com. All right, let's go back to the lines. Our very good friend, I haven't heard from him thus far. I know he's called into other shows, so we'll get our first taste of Len in Maryland. Len, welcome back. What's happening?
Hey, good morning to both of you. Nice to hear your voices, and I'm glad I'm on. Thank you very much. Hey, quick one for Anita. Anita, we got an 11:45 tee time up at the Woodlands. We need a fourth. Can you get down to
really
hit off with us?
Really? You're gonna tease me with that?
Only because I knew you couldn't get there by 11.
Oh,
I knew you couldn't get there by 11:45. That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Someday. Someday we'll work it out, Anita.
You're so funny.
You know, getting to 53 at this time of the year is really pretty tough. Unfortunately, we know that when we get to September and we have to get to the final 53, a lot of it's going to be dictated by injury, again, unfortunately. But, you know, the good news, I think we're talking, I mean, I think this team is, you know, got some players, enough players that, you know, we're really talking about player, if we're going to rank them 1 through 53, we're really talking about 47 and 48 through 53. And in some cases, we're talking about some guys who might make the 53 but go all season and not get a uniform. I mean, that third quarterback, unless something dramatic happens, oh, I'm keeping my fingers crossed, that's not true. But if anything bad happens, that's the only way he's going to get a uniform this year. I mean, I think he's got a bright future, but I don't think he's going to dress every week. But I can get to 54. I can't get to 53. The one way I get to 53 is, unfortunately, if Pierre Paul stays on the pup list, you know, for the first 6 weeks of the season, then I can pick 53. But injuries are going to dictate. And just to comment on that first preseason game, over my lifetime, I never liked to play the Steelers. I don't care if it's preseason or regular season. Going back to Buddy Parker in the 60s, there's just a culture on those Steelers. That is a tough, tough team to play. You come out of that game, you know, you start worrying about who's going to be available the next week. Now, I'm not talking about dirty play. I'm just talking about physical play. I never like to see the Steelers on the schedule. I want to talk about Will Hill. I like the player. I think he's a bright future. I think the Giants saw maybe long-term, maybe after Antrell Roll is gone, that Will Hill could be that guy. I just don't think we can give this guy another chance. I just don't see him making the 53 and having a chance to come back after the first 4 weeks. If we keep five safeties, I think Tyler Sash is going to get that job. I feel badly for Will because I think the talent's there. I think he's shown some things, and he's, you know, he's a tough dude and great special teams player, but I'm not ready to keep him on the 53.
Lynn,
I just don't.
Lynn, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, and thanks for teasing me about not being on a golf course this afternoon. But a few things about Will Hill. First and foremost, his athleticism and his talent is bar none. Okay, I mean, this is a guy who really, the sky's the limit for him. Four-game suspension, right? They're trying to knock that down to a two. Only time will tell. We'll see what happens by the time the season starts. But, and from what I understand, he was very, when he met with the media after his suspension, he was very, did you hear the sound bites? He was very open, and he was held at gunpoint, right?
Correct. I mean, he was very open about his past.
I mean, this is just recently. He was held at gunpoint at a Jersey City park, kind of
went back to his hometown, you know.
Okay.
Obviously has done well for himself, makes money, old friends, and, you know, they learned that he was back in the neighborhood, and he did come across some trouble.
Right.
From what he said.
And he was very honest with the media, and he said, listen, you know, that kind of set me back. I had to deal with a lot of demons at that point in time. Which I thought, listen, there's nothing better when a professional athlete is that candid and that open and that honest with the media. So I'm going to give him a pass. And a big reason for that as well is because just talent wise, he has the potential to be really, really a great safety in the NFL. There's risk reward there. I agree with Lynn. There's risk reward there, but I'm willing to give him a pass because he's just that talented. I can see the investment. I can see why the Giants want to invest in him.
Well, I think what Giants fans need to understand, and it's unfortunate, the circumstances surrounding Will Hill, and he did explain that he had failed these tests last year. But because of the appeals process, they didn't announce the suspension until now. You know, sometimes the politics and everything else associated with the league, it takes time. So this is not as if yesterday he went to take a test and all of a sudden they got the results back. This was
right.
A long thing that played out. Unfortunately, the timing is terrible because he's trying to solidify a roster spot. Len was trying to cut down the roster. Now you look at the other options from an X's and O's standpoint. Ryan Mundy's been very productive thus far in training camp. Speaking of the Steelers, that's where he comes over from. So I think Len's happy that he's now wearing a Giants uniform and bringing that physicality. Antrell Rose certainly is not in jeopardy. Cooper Taylor, their draft pick, has shown a lot of promise, a guy that could come down to the line, stop the run, can also drop back in coverage. And Stevie Brown, let's not forget, who had an absolute breakout campaign last year. So you have a lot of other options, and we didn't throw in a Tyler Sash into the conversation. What's going to hurt Will Hill is he's out on the practice field right now, but they know that the first four games of the season, he's not able to contribute, and he's even admitted there's a slight difference between the number of reps that he gets in practices compared to the other players, and this is the time that you want to make a statement. They can keep him on the suspension list. Come week four, big decisions going to have to be made. Are they going to be willing to sacrifice a safety that you assume will contribute over the first four games? A very tough decision for the team to make at that point.
Absolutely. But everything that I hear from the coaching staff, the DB coaching staff, is just how talented and athletic this young man is. So I would be surprised if the Giants cut him. They very well could. Hey, I'm not sitting here telling you that I know something. Just based in the conversations I've had with the coaching staff and the DB coaching staff, seeing what type of athlete he is, hearing what a lot of the other teammates say about him, I'd be surprised if the Giants cut him. I think it's a risk-reward, but I think it's a risk that the Giants are willing to take just because of the upside.
And there have been players that have been suspended in the past. Last season, for example, Tyler Sash then returned, came back onto the roster. So it's not as if there's no track record in which the Giants have kept guys around. They have to work out on their own, and then they're merged back onto the team.
I know we have some more callers on. We've only got about six more minutes in the show, but a position battle that we haven't touched on is the offensive line position. And I think, you always have to realize that there's politics that play a tremendous role, not just here with the Giants. It's just politics involved in every sport, across the board. First round draft pick to me, Lance, it means somebody who comes in and contributes immediately. Again, this is just my opinion. This is first round draft pick. It's not an investment pick. This is a guy that immediately is going to make the jump from college to the pros and immediately compete. Now, you've got David Deal, who feels like, you know what, this very well could be his last year, maybe his last year with the Giants. The Giants really have a team and a roster and the ability to compete in the NFC, represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Oh, mind you, which is only, for maybe Tiger Woods, it's a pitching wedge. For me, it's a driver. From where we're broadcasting from right now, right here at the new stadium, MetLife Stadium. I like this competition that's going on because David Deal, in some regard, should be a mentor for Justin Pugh, right? He should be a mentor for him, helping him develop. But yet, they're competing. They're competing for that tackle spot. And David Deal doesn't want to give it up. You know, there's fight still in that dog. There's gas still left in that tank. And I'll say it one more time. Today, the pads go on. This is going to be a really interesting battle that's going to take place because the biggest knock on Pugh is his arm length, right? That's the biggest. And they're worried about him in that tackle position because his arms aren't very long. So now the pads go on. He's going to be going up against some defensive linemen, some defensive ends. This is going to be fun. Today, this is going to be fun to watch that position battle.
And David Deal at this point has the upper hand. And Pat Flaherty, the offensive line coach, made that apparent. You know, Pugh still has a lot to prove. He even admitted he's got to still digest the playbook. I agree with you somewhat that you invest their first-round pick, you expect them to make immediate contributions. But remember, look at David Wilson last season. They took their time, and he slowly progressed. I think that you have that flexibility here in the case of the Giants compared to other teams because they have the insurance blanket in David Deal. It's not as if you have a huge hole at right tackle right now, as if the first game was tomorrow and you said to yourself as a Giants staff, oh my God, what are we going to do with the right tackle spot? I don't think they're in that position. Pugh could very well be in position to start week one, or I could see it. Deal gets the starting gig. And then we get to midseason, Pugh slowly works his way into a starting role. I think they have the flexibility to do that.
And let's credit Jerry Reese and this Giants organization and their scout department and the way that they really run things here. And that is, this Giants team, whenever they do go into a draft, it's not like, granted, you could sit there and say, yeah, this is their needs, but not to the point where it's like, they need a wide receiver, they need a running back, they have needs across the board, but they're not urgent. They're not immediate. And so you make an excellent point there, Lance. And again, you have to credit this organization and the way that they do things here, that they're not in that do or die position. But still, first round draft pick, I want to see him contribute. I want to see him contribute immediately year one. That's just me. But the Giants are an organization that they have the luxury that that doesn't have. That's not a necessity with this organization.
And a lot of fans share your sentiment as well. They are itching to see Justin Pugh compete and make some immediate contributions. Let's try to squeeze in a few callers before we wrap up the show. Let's go to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on? I see everybody has a fan club. I'm going to jump on the Anita Marks fan club.
You're sweet.
I wanted to touch on Will Hill because I like Will Hill and I love his talent. And you gave him a pass. And I'm going to give him a pass, too, to get on this team. But I'm going to be hard on him because this is your last shot, man. You can't blow it, man. You can't blow it. You're way too talented. Do not waste it. Do not waste it. That's my message to you, Will Hill. Position battle, I'm very intrigued on that defensive tackle because it's a lot of bodies. And when I'm going through my 53, it's hard to boot anybody out. I like Rodgers. I like Austin. I like Kuhn is not bad. Patterson, I like Patterson. So it's a lot of options. I just can't really choose between them. Jenkins, another one. And, you know, Joseph is a lock. So, yeah, that's hard. And my last thing I wanted to say is I don't think Tyler Sash makes this team. Don't make it. He's not athletic enough to be on this team. And the safeties that we got now are very athletic.
Well, they have a lot of depth there, so there's a luxury that if Tyler Sash doesn't make the team, as you mentioned, Shakes, you can turn to a lot of other options, as I named off earlier in the show. So it would not surprise me either if he didn't make the team.
Yeah, because I like Cooper Taylor, and like I said, Will Hill's my boy. I'll give you a pass too, Will Hill, but this is your last shot, man. I'm going to be hard on you, man. All right, man, thanks for taking my call, though.
All right, Shakes, thanks so much for weighing in. And keep in mind, Will Hill, remember, will start the season out on the suspension list if the Giants don't part ways with him. So the key decision won't come until you're entering that fifth game of the season in the event that they now need to take him off that list and find a roster spot for him. Let's go to Dave in Rochester. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, brother. Good morning. Actually, my question is for Anita. I'm just wondering, is Paul Dottino's tan for real or a spray-on?
No, that's for real. The dude walks like 10 miles every day in the sun with no sun protection. That Italian, it's real.
All right, good. Just checking. But if I may go back to the backfield again for 1 second, I wanted to ask you guys, Dez Bryant having a good off season so far, who's going to be covering them and how they're going to go about doing it, you think?
Well, Dez Bryant had a spectacular end to last season, and you're right. He has picked up where he left off, specifically even with regard to the off-the-field issues. The Cowboys have been very pleased from what I'm hearing out of camp. I think right now there's a number of options. You know, Corey Webster is looking for a bounce-back campaign. I think he's very well in the mix. And Prince Amukamara has probably been a nice, pleasant surprise in camp in terms of his aggressiveness.
Oh, yeah.
He's shown flashes in games, but Dave, he is all out in terms of his battle with Reuben Randle, and he even mentioned that, you know, Randle's about 6'2", 6'3". Dez Bryant's in that height category. This is perfect practice for what he's going to see within the NFC East. So don't be surprised if Prince gets his shot at guys like that.
Very good. All right, that's all I got. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Thanks
all right,
for Dave. The phone call. Also, you know, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, and that is the fact that Sam Madison is back here at Giants camp. As we know, he played for the Giants, 06 through 08. And this is a guy that really mentored Corey Webster. This is like a big brother to Corey Webster. Let's face it, Corey Webster took a pay cut to come back to play for the Giants. I think him, like Dio, I think for a number of veterans, I think they might be feeling like this might be their last year with the Giants. And as I said earlier, there's a tremendous motivational factor here this year. Lance, the fact that Jerry Reese installed that clock, the countdown to the Super Bowl in the locker room, the fact that Corey Webster came out, I think it was yesterday or a few days ago, and said, man, the motivational factor is that I don't want another NFC team here using my locker in my locker room. That's just going to eat me up. So I think there's a lot of motivational factors here for Corey Webster. The fact that this very well could be his last year. Sam Madison is here. I think Sam Madison is really doing a great job in helping with the secondary. And this, as I said, I think the secondary is totally underrated. Nobody's really talking about the secondary. And with all the talent on the defensive line, as we know, that's something that they struggled with last year, is getting to the quarterback, forcing havoc. And getting quarterbacks to kind of throw on their back foot or errant throws that allows this very athletic, aggressive secondary to make plays on balls. I'm excited. I think this defense is a win-win. I like what they're doing on the defensive line, and that's going to help the secondary. I think they're going to be one of the top teams in the NFL in interceptions.
Well, it goes hand in hand. If the pass rush returns, that's bound to help out the secondary. Aaron Ross, another guy in the mix in terms of adding some depth. Let's go back to the lines. We've got Andrew in Virginia. Andrew, welcome to the program. What's happening?
Hey guys, I was just wondering. There's been some spotted reports about coming out of camp about the tight ends catching balls and everything, but not a lot of detail. And, you know, I just want to know if there's anything more that you all can say about the tight ends. Obviously, it's a big position. We could utilize more with two, you know, big pass catchers. And I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on what these guys are doing in camp.
Well, we actually,
it's really hard to tell.
All right. Well, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it. We talked about the tight ends a little bit earlier on the show, and we could revisit that really quick before we sign off, Lance. And that is, I'm a huge Brandon Myers fan. As I said earlier, watched him from afar when he was in Oakland, owned him on a few of my fantasy football teams, and that's kind of how I was on top of his stats and what he was able to do there. This is a much better system for him. The Kevin Gilbride, Eli Manning system is going to put him in better positions. He gets great separation. He runs great routes. He catches everything that's thrown his way. I'm expecting a tremendous year. In fact, he's a sleeper for me on my cheat sheet entering into a lot of fantasy football drafts this coming year. So I really love Myers. Now, Adrian Robinson, again, this is my first day here at Giants camp, and I'm really excited about it because today's the first day that they're in pads, which is going to make a big difference. But everything I'm hearing and I'm reading about Adrian Robinson is that he's really looked fantastic. And as I said earlier, I know that it's not part of the Kevin Gilbride system, that two tight end set that you saw the Patriots utilize so successfully and a number of other teams around the NFL. This is a copycat league. But I'm hoping if Adrian Peterson continues to have if Adrian Robinson continues to have the camp that he's had so far, granted, we still have four more weeks left, I would love to see that two tight end set here because Robinson's not dropping anything either. Both these guys, stellar reviews so far after a week of camp.
And I agree. I think a lot of teams have shown that system and it's worked, but the Giants, to me, are the team that has the tight ends block more so than go out and catch passes. So I don't know how much of that we'll see. They're more likely to use a swing tackle who they can utilize in motion like a Sean Locklear in years past before he tore his ACL against the Redskins to have an additional offensive lineman. I just don't know if they're at the point where they're going to put an Adrian Robinson and a Brandon Myers on the field at the same time. Also, keep in mind, they've got a lot more options at wide receiver. I would say they put out three wideouts before they'd maybe use two tight ends. To answer Andrew's question about specifically what we're seeing at practice, Adrian Robinson had a few good catches, specifically in 7-on-7 drills. Anita just alluded to that, so I think that's caught the eye of the coaching staff. Brandon Myers is doing his thing. I mean, like Anita said, there's only so much you can read into with guys running routes and catching passes without pads. So, you know, if you're seeing that online, if you're seeing images, digest it, but step back a little. What is going to transpire in the next couple of days when they put the pads on? And also, what happens in the preseason games? To me, that's the first sign of what this guy can do in real live situations to determine, as what Anita said, separating the men from the boys. Right now, everybody is sort of in the gray area. Mm-hmm. We're now going to start to move guys to respective corners. But Robinson's come a long way. Myers clearly the guy. As far as some of their other players, don't know if they're going to make the roster. But keep in mind, Bear Pasco, assuming Heinoski's not fully healthy, is going to be in the mix. He can be a tight end. He can be a fullback. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. So you're essentially going to have a fullback that's dangerous, a running back that's dangerous in David Wilson, and Brandon Myers. That's a good problem to have for Eli Manning to spread the wealth.
Absolutely. Eli has to be so excited about this season. In regard to the talent and the weapons that are around him this year. And his biggest concern has to be staying healthy in the pass protect, specifically out of the backfield.
Before we wrap up the show, a lot of people commenting on Twitter just want to get to one or two comments.
Okay.
Trina New York at KTNT80. I think Wilson is dangerous on the kick return, but I don't think he should return kicks that much. It's a lot of a workload. We did talk about that earlier in the show. It's going to be interesting to see how camp plays out. To me, they will take Wilson maybe somewhat out of the mix, assuming, Anita, there's another option that emerges. Right now, I don't know if there's another reliable option that you would say, all right, we'll limit Wilson to two kickoff returns because we feel good about this guy.
Only time will tell. I know that they've been working a lot of guys back there.
They have.
Right? Victor Cruz has actually been back there, hasn't he?
Jernigan, too, who's had some reps. Reuben Randall in the mix. I mean, remember, they also have punt and kickoff returns. So one guy may be good at punt returns. Maybe, the other guy may be good at kickoff returns.
You know what, Lance? Maybe you just hit a nail on the head, and maybe that's how Jernigan makes this roster. If Jernigan, you know, if Jernigan is having a hard time, you know, competing in that wide receiving core, maybe that's where he really, the coaches say, oh, you know, this guy is so good. In regard to special teams, we can't let him go. Maybe that's how Jernigan makes this roster. I really think Jernigan's on the bubble. That's going to be a guy that I'm really going to watch. But he had a great camp last year.
He did.
Jernigan had a great camp last year.
It's a matter, though, of translating it to the regular season, like you said.
What are you going to do?
Two other quick comments about the running back situation, since that seems to be a popular discussion up on Twitter. Our good friend Marco Imperati at MGiants11. I think running back is an interesting battle and scenario for the 53-man roster. Chance they go with four, referring to David Wilson, Andre Brown, Terrain, and Hino. I don't know if Hino is considered a part of the running back number. I think that they consider him separate entity with the fullbacks. Michael Cox, if he shows some promise in the preseason, definitely could hammer out a roster spot. And then Darrell Scott is that X factor. Does he emerge as a special teamer, as we just discussed? Maybe he can return kickoffs. I'd say it's an outside shot. Michael Cox, to me, would be the guy that has a realistic chance of being the fourth man. And John Murray at Johnny Murray 55. Competition between our running backs should bring our run game back to its former glory. Two-headed monster. I echo that sentiment. On paper, I think they've got a nice balance in terms of a change of pace between David Wilson and Andre Brown. Assuming both stay healthy, you will likely see that two-headed monster. Assuming the injury bug stays away. That's the key. And we've been talking about it to death in every season so far for the Giants, Anita. If this team stays healthy, the depth and the promise is there.
The sky's the limit. Before we sign off, again, just want to remind you, practice today 1:30 to 3:45, but the weather conditions look not so great, and if the Giants do bring their practice inside, then it would mean that it is not open to the public. So keep that in mind. Check the weather updates before you do head out here for Giants practice. Also, later on tonight on MSG, the MSG show, Giants Training Camp Live, is on at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Amani Toomer's here today, so we're going to be focusing on the wide receivers. I believe that I'm going to be doing an interview with Reuben Randall and Lewis Murphy, so really excited about that. Diving into the wide receiver position, so make sure you tune into MSG later on tonight. And what do you? So are you?
And tomorrow we'll have Big Blue Kickoff Live again. I believe you're with Paul DiTino tomorrow.
Yes.
So anybody who's interested in the tan, feel free to call up and ask him.
What am I going to do? I need to sleep in a tanning bed in order just to kind of like.
In terms of the competition here,
right.
You got to up your games.
First day
back, now you got to get back into the mix.
But are you hanging out with us here today? Are you going to like check out camp at practice?
Well, I'll be here throughout the upcoming weeks.
Okay.
Today, I need to move on to other options that I have
laid
out. Yes,
other
correct.
Responsibilities,
busy
Lance.
Man.
Okay.
But I will be making my fair share of appearances.
Because I was going to say because we said we were going to end. What's the one battle you're most looking forward to?
Well, I've said it on most of the shows so far, the linebacker.
Okay.
Just because three spots that are wide open.
Right.
You can't point to another position on this team where there's that much competition. So I'm going to really pay close attention to that linebacker battle.
As unsexy as it sounds, for me it's the offensive line. I find this very interesting. First round draft pick, I want to see him contribute immediately, but David Deal, there's still fight left in this dog. There's still gas in this tank, and I love it. And I love. I want to see what's going to happen today with pads on. So for me, I'm going to watch that offensive line battle again. I know not sexy, but it is what it is.
Anita's going to be keeping close tabs on Justin Pugh to see how many reps he gets and how close he is to getting into that starting
mix. Exactly.
Well, certainly appreciate all the phone calls this morning. Thanks so much for weighing in. Also on Twitter, #GiantsChat. You continue to interact with Anita and I off the air at Anita Marks at Lance Meadow. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Paul DiTino will join Anita Marks, so stay tuned for that at 9:30 a.m. Eastern here on Giants.com. Have a good one.